Rowan. I have hated my mother for most of my life, but it is her face I see as I drown. The face I see when I wake from drowning is different. It is rough and wind-bitten and scratchy. It is what I'm looking at when the sudden arrival of pain overcomes me, and I know the image of him will forever be as one with this pain. Whenever I see this face, I will remember the burning sting of being dragged upon rocks and flayed open, left raw. I will feel the bursting pressure in my chest. The sensation will be so vivid, it will be like it's happening all over again. His face. A return. A drowning.
Fen. She washes in with the storm, draped upon a tangle of driftwood. The girl sees her from among the seals. She picks her way through their fat, sleeping bodies and moves to the surging waterline. Rough waves carry the lump closer, in with the tide. A shape of milky white, lit by the moon. A shoulder, she thinks, and seaweed for hair. A hand draped delicately over wood. The girl wades into the black roar. She dives under and swims out, reaches for this bulbous thing to help steer it free. When her feet hit sand, she rises, dragging the driftwood behind her. Swell slaps at her thighs and hips, but she knows how to move with the water so as not to be tumbled, preparing all the while for something terrible, something altering. But a last wave sends the tangle onto the beach, and the girl parts the curtain of snarled kelp to reveal a face. And it is not swollen or blue or nibbled. It is breathing. The girl's name is Fen, and she lives here now, on this exposed patch of coastline with the petrels and the shearwaters and the penguins and the seals. She hasn't been up the hill in a while to where her family dwells in the lighthouse. She doesn't like to leave the sea. But tonight, the storm, the woman, lightning on the horizon and rain she can hear approaching fast. She thinks quickly and then, rather than trying to pull the body free, she drags the entire driftwood barge up the black sand as far as she can. She allows herself another look at this face, at this creature carried in from a sea too vast to make sense of. A gift for them? Or something rejected? And then, Fen runs. This is a place of storms, but this storm, this one will be the worst they've endured since coming here. She knows it as soon as she reaches the crest of the hill and collides with the wind. It takes her off her feet. In the distance, she can see the lights of the building. A white shape flies end over end through the air, a bedsheet from the clothesline. They all know not to hang things overnight. Someone will be in trouble for that lost sheet. Behind it, one of the tool trolleys careens through the grass, is lifted up off its wheels and dumped again, spilling its guts, and this, these precious items being left out, is even worse than the sheet. In the end, she doesn't have to struggle all the way to the house. Her dad's been watching, and the second he sees her cresting the rise, he is running. They meet in the dark, on the trail to the shore. Even his considerable size is nothing against this wind, and he's stooped almost double as he gathers her toward home. Stop, she shouts. Dad, we need Raph. I'm here, says her brother, materializing to take her other side in arms almost as big as their father's, both of them hurrying her on. Wait, Fen says, knowing that time now will be divided into before and after. There's a woman,